The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about. It's time to get this party started tonight.
This is your World Cup Watch Canada.
Brought to you by Tim Hortons. It's game on with Tim. Now to the interview.
BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
World Daily.
Let's bring in David Edgar, former Canadian international, English, spent years in England, Premier League. Eddie, welcome to Footy Prime. And I should say, I mentioned before, you are the BBC's latest star. And he gave you a nice mic. So we're excited to hear how crisp you sound, how professional you sound.
Test. Is it working?
Yeah.
All right. Good. Oh, good. Man. Just plugged it in for a sec. Yeah. No, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
We deal with Jimmy Brennan and Craig Forrest and their mic issues every for 6 years. Yeah. And you sound better already after 3.5 seconds. So I appreciate you joining us. So we're just talking about that, you know, every match you see it in football where a player goes down hurt, but he gets ignored by everyone. And then he eventually sheepishly gets to his feet and then does the old fake limp just to show that, I really was hurt. Was that ever you? Did you ever do that?
Never. Truthfully, I can't even imagine staying down. I stayed down once and I was unconscious, I think. And I'm not trying to act like a tough man.
That's fair.
That was just how we played the game. I think things have changed, but what I will say is the new rule, you've started noticing players like, and I don't know if this is what you're talking about, but you've started noticing players not staying down and it's getting up. Their teammates are saying, get up. There's no, nobody wants to stay off the pitch for a minute. So it's kind of bringing back that mentality then. And it made me realize how much time wasted there actually was players sitting on the ground. So I'm happy with it.
It's one of another FIFA rule that works. It's like the hydration breaks and like this time wasting rules. It's all good for the game. We're really happy about that. Anyway, we'll get to the Canada game in a little bit, but I want to talk about yesterday's games quickly as well. Mm-hmm. I want to start with Portugal against Congo, and the big story is Ronaldo. And to me, it's not that he was ineffective, because a number of his teammates were also ineffective yesterday, but the fact that he stayed on the pitch the entire time. And that you saw some of the Neto come off, Neves come off, Bernardo Silva came off, taken off, but Ronaldo stays on the pitch. Are we making too much of this, or is he really becoming a problem? Because you look at the headlines right now around the football media, and they're targeting Ronaldo after one match, a guy that scored so many goals after one match. But is that criticism directed properly?
Oh, that's a tough one. I got Portuguese in-laws, so it's been a tough, And I can imagine what Ronaldo was thinking the night before that game after those players did what they did the day before, right? You can think what's going through his head. We know that's how he thinks and stuff, but I think it was Thierry Henry said something. It's the team that scores the goal. It's not the individual, and I know it sounds so simple, but I'm not sure that's the case there. You look at Argentina and Messi scores and they're trying to get him to score. And I don't think that's the case at Portugal. And I don't know if it's the pressure for him to stay on the pitch to score. Cause he can, we know he can score goals. We know he's got that in him and he will if he gets a chance, but it just doesn't look right at the minute. Like you said, nobody else was really at it yesterday either, but just looks so far off of it.
And you know, the next few days that will be conflated, right? In the Portuguese media. And it's going to get a bigger and bigger thing. And then he's going to come out next match against, I think, who's it playing next? Is it? I forget who it is now. Anyway, who's playing next? I think it's Uzbekistan, actually. I think it is.
Yeah.
He's going to score a hat-trick.
Yeah.
100%. That's kind of
and all will be forgiven.
Yeah, all is forgiven. Absolutely. Yeah.
And forgotten. Not just forgiven, but forgotten. Because everyone will be like, goldfish. Oh, Ronaldo's up with those three other players on that Mount Rushmore of soccer players, right?
Yeah, but I think to David's point, it paled that performance did from Ronaldo in comparison to the top billing of the superstars who showed up and delivered for their teams. And you know that he was watching that and desperately wanting to match it, if not exceed it. And so the pressure will be on certainly for the next match.
Yeah, I mean, it was an amazing day before, right? All those goals. Then Kane scores a couple yesterday as well. There's a ton of goals in this World Cup so far. They're on track, I think, to score the most goals ever at a World Cup. Now, it's one round into the group phase. As you know, Eddie, things get a little cagier and tighter as you go further into a tournament like this. But I mean, is there a reason? Do you think people are saying the ball's moving really quickly, right? I don't know if there's anything to that. Is it just that they're really good finishers and teams are actually playing pretty attacking football? It's not your typical, park the bus for most cases.
I think, honestly, Jim, that's what it is. I think more teams and teams that the best part about the World Cup is a lot of fans coming to watch this don't really know the tackle ins and outs of different countries and aren't really up to date with it. So it's super exciting to come see it. You see, they might watch the Premier League week in, week out, and you've got a lot of teams playing the same way, and football isn't exciting. And then they're introduced to the World Cup, and it's like, okay, ooh, this is interesting. Like, you've got a lot of teams playing attacking football. They're not, you're going to sit back in a low block, but how do teams like an Argentina break down a low block? And they can do it. So it's exciting. It's different. And I think that's the main thing for people watching. It's exciting football.
Hey, Dubs, so I'd say it's also really bad goalkeeping, but Craig's not here, so it's not as much fun. Right? But
it's not. You want to be able to back that up with the technical.
Yeah.
There has been, for sure. But I think it's to your point as well that there's been some really positive attacking football and lots of looks at the net and lots of great shots. And yeah, the ball's moving. There might be like some nuance to it. But yes, the goalkeepers, I think it's easy to scapegoat them at times. But I think there's been a couple of suspect performances in between the sticks.
It also shows, sorry, Sharms, it shows, I just think of the 48 teams, right? All of a sudden, you're sitting there going, oh, there really are only 24 amazing goalkeepers in the tournament, because there's, you know, some countries have two or three deep that could be starting somewhere. And some of these goalkeepers are new to this. It's their debut, and the pressure and the amount of being hey, I have to be a boss on this team. That changes every match where they're playing. I wanted to ask Craig yesterday about, you know, when you're playing an elite scorer, does that change your game? And I said that to Dubs last night over a pint, and she goes, that was a good question, but I didn't get it. So I'm just once again doing this to myself.
That's why you're doing it. You literally brought that up because you could mention that Amy said that it was a good question.
And I'm doing this.
But a good question for Craig. But yeah. I think, you know, if you ask Jesse Marsh about your opponent, of course, you're making some tactical adjustments for Qatar, maybe doing things slightly different than you did things versus Bosnia, but your focus is on yourself. So I think you can answer Wonger's question in the same way as a goalkeeper. Your technique, your placement, your adjustments, the way you command your box, your shot stopping, the way that you don't want to spill a rebound like Zidane did to the feet of Messi, who's already seen that like two and three movements in advance to be able to just side foot that in the net. Like, you want to be able to help yourself out and the team in front of you. So can you parry it wide? Can you not spill it right to, you know, the edge of your 6-yard box? There are certain principles that are always there and should be there as foundational to good goalkeeping, or center back, or a winger, or a midfielder. Like, there are things that you're just doing because that's central to your game and that's central to your success. And maybe little tweaks here and there for somebody who might have a pop from distance, right? So you're tuned into that the same way that you're prepared for penalties, and you've got your, you know, Jordan Pickford water bottle, and you're hoping that one of the ball boys isn't stealing it because they are covertly working for the opposition.
Is Pickford a great goalkeeper, Eddie? I mean, he's been the man, the staple between the pipes for England for a long time. He's stayed at Everton for years and years. He's been very loyal, but no massive clubs come in for him, as far as you know. He's fine. He's going to be good enough. But is he, in your minds, a great goalkeeper? I'm always a little bit confused with Jordan Pickford.
Ooh, it's a tough one asking me. Or sat next to my dad and my uncle, ex-goalies, and Jordies as well. So you got to understand, he's from Sunderland. Yeah. But he's a fantastic goalie. But there is something, I think, personally, that's stopping him from getting to be that top keeper. You see a couple times in the first half yesterday, making a few mistakes. And they don't come to anything. But it's also in Pickford's personality to be able to play that way, that sort of brashness and confidence on the ball. So it's, I feel like he could get caught out in a major tournament like this. He gets caught out in the Premier League at times. So, I mean, it's in a tournament like this, as you go on further and further again, look at Messi. We talk about, it makes it look easy, right? But that's not an easy finish. And you're playing against players like that as we move forward in this tournament.
This message is brought to you by Tim Hortons at participating restaurants in Canada for a limited time.
Introducing Tim's Taste of the Globe, a limited time squad of globally inspired Timbits and iced cap flavors.
And trust us, this lineup came to play.
We're talking a Brazilian lime cheesecake Timbit,
a French chocolate creme brulee Timbit,
an Italian cappuccino Timbit,
and a Canadian fireworks Timbit,
plus a Mexican caramel churro ice cap that absolutely deserves a chant.
It's game on at Tim's with the new Timbits and ice cap flavors from around the globe.
Try them all today.
I will.
I know you will. Now back to the show.
I think he gets picked because he looks like he could be playing in 1966.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. He could be that goalkeeper because he's got the hair, he's got the old, you know, I don't know. He's not an old guy by any stretch, but he just has that look.
No, he's old-timey.
Old-timey, yeah.
Yeah.
He's old-timey.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason it helps him, I think. But as long as England are scoring four goals, who cares? He missed a couple of mistakes. It was an impressive performance against Croatia, I thought, Eddie, overall. And Harry Kane, I mean, listen, we talk about Haaland and Messi and Mbappe. I think you got to put him in that group as the top strikers in this World Cup. He's coming off maybe the best season out of all of them, actually, with Bayern Munich. He looks, I don't know, there's something different since going to Bayern Munich. Maybe it's simply just because he's not a Tottenham player anymore and he's getting trophies, but there's a newfound confidence, swagger, and the confidence that we have in him as opposed to necessarily just he has on the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, what Bayern Munich did under Kompany this year definitely suited Harry Kane. He's dropping into that 10 position. He was receiving at the edge of his 18-yard box yesterday, right? So how do you defend that? There's not many players in the world that can do that with his footballing intelligence. So it's you've got him playing well, but England as a whole were exciting. I think they were just more dynamic, more exciting to watch previously as an England fan. And it was just, you've got players coming off the bench and you had a manager who was brave in his substitutions as well at 2-1, where he's gone and made those three attacking substitutions where you could put on a holding midfielder, or defensive midfielder, which the rhetoric may always be that, but you could concede, you could put those three subs on attacking and concede 2-2 and everyone should say you got to put a holding midfielder on, but he's gone brave. And I think that's what England needs. England needs that bravery, that gambler to go, all right, go and win it by two or three, because we've got Pickford in goal. We might concede one or two, right? So,
yeah, Dubs, we haven't seen an England coach do that for I don't know how long, being that aggressive and want to say, yeah, 3-2 is fine, but we want four. We want another one. I'm not sure if you saw his post-match press conference.
I did.
Quite personality. He's great, right? And they're talking about the speech he may or may not have given at halftime. And he just says, I just told the boys, listen, keep doing what we're supposed to be doing here. This is the message. You know, I don't care if you made a mistake. I don't care if we concede. This is who we are now. Like, wow. Mm-hmm. Is Gareth Southgate watching?
Yeah, I thought it was really impressive. And there have been questions about Tuchel and the squad that he's selected and the style that he's playing. But I mean, clearly that second half, like he just let them go. Like the shackles were off. Like take off the handbrake, just go out and go. I think he was mentioning on the second goal that they conceded, that Croatia scored. He's like, we looked at it, and this is part of his halftime talk. He's like, we were almost playing a back seven and we still conceded. He's like, it's halftime. We've played 45 minutes. What are you meant to be protecting? We haven't even secured a result. Go out there and play. And I think it was just like all the stress and the expectations were lifted in that moment to have a coach who's clearly backing the players. And he said like the last 17 days, so the time that they've spent in camp, clearly working and honing this system to bring the best out of all the players so they can go out and express themselves. And I think he felt like they were muted and they were overwhelmed a little bit about the stage, perhaps, maybe not the opponent, but just we have to deliver on a result. So fixated on that, that they forgot that they could also play a football match and maybe enjoy themselves. And I think you saw a second half where they were just unleashed. And whether it's the manager's doing or not, I don't think it has a massive part of what ended up happening, but it was, I think, exactly the lift that the players needed, almost to just go out and do it, like approval to just, yeah, let's just go and play. And you saw the best of them there, I thought.
Yeah.
David Icke joins myself. Sorry, go ahead, Teddy.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. From a player's perspective, when a manager gives you that, takes the expectation of winning, like I heard what he said, it's like, we trust and believe in what you're doing. Results off the table. As an England player, you know what that, like, I obviously don't know, but the pressure to get results, when that's taken away, you've actually seen them take the handbrake off physically. It's gone and played out with a freedom. So, and I think that's a manager's job. The X's and O's are what they are. Everyone can do that. But that the manager to go out there and say, no, I still believe in you no matter what, but we're going to do it this way and win, lose, or draw. I'm proud of you guys. You know what it's like. It takes the pressure off completely.
Yeah, it's at the unburdening, right? You're 100% right that's part of the manager's job to make sure that they're managing that, like the weight of it. And for England, I don't know. I mean, you could argue that there are other countries that are up there, but just given their history, I don't know if it's anyone bears that more so than these England players. So for the fact that he just did that and he went and he was like, yeah, go. Just go do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Dave and Sharms, how did you guys, because I remember yesterday Dubs was doing a lot of travel, but how did you guys watch the match? Who were you surrounded by and what was that vibe like? Were you on pins and needles or is this even your team? So Dave, I know you're cheering for Canada. Is England your other team? Is that allowed? I know it's allowed in Canada.
Yeah.
I mean, it's allowed.
I'll be honest. Yeah, 100%. It's funny you should mention that because there was definitely a feeling that was different me watching it than as the previous years. 2022, it was a different feeling, but not as much it was like I was watching another game, but I was waiting for the Canada game tomorrow. Do you know what I mean? I'm Canadian, Canada fan. Whereas in the past it was England and everything. And don't get me wrong, we were still, my uncle owns a pub here in Kitchener and he's got massive TVs. So we watched the game there he's got his mates over from Newcastle and all my daughters were there. And so we always try and do that as a family thing. And that's tradition. That's what we try and do.
Yeah. Early drinking is important for later years.
Yeah. Get the girls started early. That's
right. They need to know. Ask Dubs.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what we did. So it was enjoyable. And then obviously we'll probably try and do the same for the next game. Hopefully get outside and watch it.
James Charman, how did you?
Yeah. Oh, you wait. You want to hear this? It's pretty great. I was by myself in my hotel room. And until the second half of the second half when I was in the back of an Uber going to training. So yeah, it was great. It's just how I want to watch my teams play, really. That, did you if I could choose, that would be it. Yeah.
Did you have the TSN app? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you have the TSN app flowing in the Uber at least?
Faisal had it on his laptop. I don't know how he did it, but he managed it. But I'll say, to Eddie's point there, there wasn't a doubt. I'm Canada first these days. But if there was ever, a conflict, and when it comes down to who am I really, who's my number one now? It's Canada, and I know that from yesterday because I remember how I felt during the Canada match, and the palms were a lot more sweaty than they were for the England match yesterday. And England Croatia's got history, right? That's a tough match. They always worry me, and I enjoyed the match, but it wasn't pins and needles. It wasn't on the edge of my seat quite as much.
It wasn't. It wasn't corduroy slacks that got you excited.
No, but I was. I mean, listen, I still supporting England, of course. I was still, anticipating a fascinating match, and it was great. I really enjoyed it. But there were days, man, in the past, you guys know, with your team, you don't really enjoy the match at all because you're so nervous.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday was a little bit different.
How were you feeling when Croatia put in that second goal to draw them level? Mm-hmm. Was the feelings of self-loathing and the doomsday, like all that rhetoric, did all that start?
Oh, Dubs, I think they're always there.
Yeah.
right? They didn't stop. Then they were there in the background lingering because, you know, England.
The dark passenger.
The dark passenger was sitting on my shoulder saying, no, don't get too confident now. You know what's coming. Although when I saw Luka Modric do what he did to concede that penalty, I thought, wow, something, maybe the footballing gods are switching and turning, because that's very un-Modric-like. It was clumsy, and that's not a word you could ever use for him.
And then Kane gets a second crack at it and buries it.
Yeah, no kidding, right? The old encroachment off the line. Is it considered encroachment off the line for the goalkeeper? It's encroachment in the area.
I saw both. There was a goalkeeper, but I thought it was more the defenders coming in. And then Sky Sports News, they said the defenders, so I'm not sure.
Same. I think on the call, they were talking about looking at the goalkeeper. Yeah. And then even, I think, whoever the analyst was, like, you know, this looks really tight, but, you know, maybe England gets lucky here and they get to take it again. And they did. But then I think I was reading an Athletic article, and it was clearly like to the right of the D, if you're looking at the goal, it was two defenders for Croatia definitely stepped into the area, because the lines of the 18 are part of the area. So if you're on the line, you're encroaching. But he's like well into the 18-yard box.
Yeah.
I was on a show just before this one, and they asked me who's doing the World Cup better, Vancouver or Toronto. And I gave a very diplomatic answer, because I'm not going to go down that. But Wonga, you and JC were hosting an event yesterday at Earl's for the Ghana-Panama match, which, I mean, not a great match, but man, the drama at the end was fantastic.
Yeah, I would argue with you, though, just a little quick. Everyone's been bashing me about that Japan match that I said and Holland that was boring. At least I said the first half was. Last night's match, it was back and forth. There weren't a lot of goals, but it was there were an abundance of plays that were opportunities to score. And you have a pint in your hand. That was a watchable game. And maybe my problem is don't watch a match without a pint in your hand. I think that's what I have to learn from this.
It's like a concert. It's the same thing, right?
It is.
Events and concerts. You need a pint in your hand. I was stuck in the sterile media center at BC Place with maybe the worst coffee I've ever had in my life. So that was my enjoyment for that match. But how was Toronto? I mean, I saw the video that on TSM was showing the clips downtown. It looked pretty amazing when the Ghanaians came out of the stadium.
Yeah, the city was buzzing, just walking around. Absolutely. Tons of jerseys, tons of England kit still knocking around. I'm pretty sure I saw, is it Ollie Bassett who plays in his CPL, Nate's buddy, who was looking for a place to play? I'm fairly certain I walked past him. I almost called out, but I was like, maybe that's not him. But the Ghanaian fans were just absolutely buzzing in the city yesterday. It was great. It was good energy, good vibe. So to the question where it's like Vancouver or Toronto, it's both. It can be both.
It's brilliant here. Everyone's wearing a soccer shirt. Every store's got some kind of World Cup something or other in it. It's theme. It's brilliant. It's a buzz. Colombia beat Uzbekistan in a really interesting match in the late one last night. Jimmy Brennan was on the call for that one in the panel.
Electric blue suit. Oh my God.
He rocks it, doesn't he? He rocks that suit well. It looks good. But Colombia take that one 3-1. Although Uzbekistan had their chances. Hey, JC, let's get some Canada talk, shall we?
Well, actually, Wonger came up with a little jingle, which he'd like to sing for us.
Oh, I didn't know.
Introduce our,
all right, here it goes.
Our wonderful segment.
I'm debuting it. It's the World Cup Watch Canada. It's the World Cup Watch Canada. Brought to you by Tim Hortons. There you go.
It's game on with Tim's. It's game on with Tim.
It's tragic.
Eddie, when you did the BBC, was it similar to this?
It was a bit more professional, guys, I'll be honest.
You don't say. You don't say.
No, I don't believe that. I take offense to that. All right, so we have Canada against Qatar later today. It's must win. Simple as that. Not mathematically, perhaps, but it's must win. At the press conference, Jesse Marshall's asked, is it the biggest game in this program's history? Men's program's history. And he mentioned the women and the Olympic gold. He mentioned Copa America. He mentioned Qatar. For you, Eddie, is this, not to put too much pressure on the players, but hey, it's kind of our job. Is it the biggest ever?
Yeah. I mean, I like Jesse's answer last week when he said that Steph is, they asked if it was like the biggest game of their careers last week. right? In the biggest game of the nation last week. So, and you probably had heard that 50, 60 times without in your career, as he has as a manager. So the players, yeah, I don't think us saying anything is going to put any more pressure on what they're already doing or internally. They know what this has been, a long sort of process of what they're trying to do as a group and expand the game in this country. And last Friday went a long way to doing that. And I think, yes, it's a must win tonight because of all of the other things, because of your opponent, because of what happened in the first two games on both sides. And then obviously you'll know the result going into the game based on the other group, right? So, we've said it, and it's the biggest game in his history.
Were you a player that was able to remove the pressure when you crossed the lines, hit the pitch, and just like focused on the game itself? Or would you feel pressure in big games, be it for your club or for the country?
I wish I could say I was one of those. I think looking back now and all the sort of work I've done on myself, I would be in a much better place. But I was pretty an anxious player. I used to really get worked up before games. It would start on a Friday, but as soon as that match day minus one would finish, and it would be, and I thought it was normal through my whole career. I thought it was, you're supposed to feel sick for 24 hours before a game. that's what you're supposed to feel like. But truthfully, and it wasn't, there's so much wasted energy I probably had throughout my career. But that's how I thought I had to prepare. It was me sort of getting in the zone. But yeah, it's, I wish I could say it was all easy going with me, but I think if you heard me on the field too, it was a fear of the way I played football was the fear of losing that jersey, a fear of losing my position. And because where I played in England, it would happen a lot. It was the Canadian guy come back from playing for Canada and okay, you're on the bench again. So it was a fear of losing my starting position at all times. Which helps you, but it also can, we were talking before about the releasing that fear of expectations and just going on there and play with the freedom. And you can do that. But when you step over the white line sometimes in those games, you'd be lying if you said, like, obviously Messi said something last night about just having enjoyment and love for it. And you can see plays like that. Whereas some players stiffen up until you have that first couple touches. I was a guy who I needed to win my first header tackle, complete my first pass before things settled down. So yeah, long answer, but I wish it could have been easier.
Great insight. Yeah.
It's a good answer because you do hear so much about, you know, oh, be happy, just be loose, take the shackles off, enjoy the ball. And the reality is, I mean, Dubs, you were an intense player. Were you someone that, did you enjoy the match itself or was it after the fact you enjoyed it?
No, when I was at my best, I was enjoying the match itself and the individual moments. And, you know, if you're, okay, this 15 minutes, we really want to go at them. And that's what Canada have to do in the first 15 minutes versus Qatar, and talk about shackles off and like all of that weight lifted. If somebody is able to bag a goal, preferably Jonathan David, I think you'll just see like everybody's shoulders drop. But I loved what Eddie's saying about sometimes playing with fear. And that's when I was at my worst, whether it was fear of making a mistake, fear of, you know, expectations I put on myself as like one of three internationals playing in the first iteration of a pro league in the US off the back of the success of the 99 Women's World Cup. Those were probably expectations placed on myself and unfairly. But when you play with that type of negativity as the driving force, you can't ever reach your utmost potential. You just will not. So what you said, David, about Messi talking about the joy and the love, like that is when we worked with a mental performance coach. He had us like kind of took us through our paces and asked us a bunch of stuff. It was a very collaborative approach. And I've talked about this on this podcast in the past. And like the opposite of fear isn't bravery. The opposite of fear is love. Mm-hmm. And so when you play with a love for your country, for your teammates, for the game, for the experience, that can be transformative. And so it's not that simplistic. It's not just that will fix everything. That will fix what's ailing the guy who's supposed to be our prolific goal scorer for Canada and Jonathan David. It's not that easy. But when you can frame it in a way that's just about enjoying the experience and letting it wash over you and embracing it all versus letting fear be the driving force of losing your place or letting a nation down, whatever it is that the story that you're telling yourself, if you open it up and make it about love and joy, it can absolutely elevate your game.
Oh, man.
We'll get a transcript.
We got to put that on a shirt.
That was all you, Eddie, is everything that you said.
That was brilliant.
Because like it makes me emotional, right? Because you're lucky to be in football. I still feel 100%. Privileged to be able to talk about it. And as a player, like, it's a once in a lifetime and one in a million experience. I never forgot, like, listening to the anthem, that I got the opportunity to do that and somebody didn't, right?
Yeah.
So like, you don't take that for granted. So make it positive.
100%.
You know, when I hear those stories, Eddie, and you mentioned how what you struggle with the stress and the tension. I mean, it is sad, right? Because as someone that could never play at any kind of level, I always think, man, how amazing would that be to be a professional footballer? You know, and it is in many ways, but there's so much more to it than that. Like Amy was saying there, it isn't easy. And I think that's why there might be a divide and friction between the media and the players so often, because it's our job to amplify everything and to make it seem way bigger than it actually is, and the importance. But that's because we have to make content and stories. I can understand if you can't shut off the media as a footballer, I can see why you're like, oh my God, well, these guys just give it a rest. If John David, I don't think he is the kind of guy to be on social media every night and to, you know, looking at sportsnet.ca and wearefootyprime.com. I don't think he probably is. But if he was, you could see why he just doesn't want to have anything to do with the media. Like, guys, give it a break.
Yeah. No, it's funny you should say that. I was actually just saying to my wife how much I enjoyed doing the media side on the BBC. And why I've not been against it. I've always sort of thought my path was going to be, and still do, in coaching. I've just finished my licensing. I've recently interviewed for a job, but I really enjoyed that. And I kind of went away from it because of that, because of what I would have to say about professionals that I was in those positions. I will always be honest in what I see. And that's how I am about football. But also I was saying to her, there's so much more to what goes on. Like, he's not, okay, he might not score, but okay, how was his day? How's his family? What's happening? How's his kids? Like, those are the types of things that, and I think why you're saying there is a divide, because yeah, it's an absolute honor to do what we did and play football and be a professional and get these guys get paid the money to get paid. But I think the media then says, well, you have to be this way. You have to be grateful for it. You can be grateful and still go through tough times, and you can be a great player and still go through those moments. But when there is that media, it's human nature, right? It's whether Jonathan David's the type of person that water off a duck's back or not. It's human nature to know that people are having this feeling, this conversation about you. And it's not easy. So I was never in a position to be spoken about that much. Like those guys, these are goal scorers. So the pressure is on them, right? It's always going to be, but they chose that and they thrive off that. And it'll take one goal to change everything. And then obviously everyone wants to give them a hug and he'll do interviews, and that's the roller coaster, but you sign up for it as a player. So I get both sides of it.
Isn't that funny? You know, all this conversation about one player this last few days, even few weeks, given the Juventus, it takes one goal. It's all it takes.
One goal.
That's it. One goal. And suddenly we're all championing this amazing forward that Canada has, you know, the greatest they've probably ever had in that position. Yeah. And like, oh, yeah.
It takes a deflection, a tap in, anything. Mm-hmm. Go off of his back and go in. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Right? Something it's a strange one.
But against Qatar, I mean, listen, he's got a good opportunity, right? And I think we do elevate teams and, oh, yeah, they got a draw against Switzerland. But if you watch that match, they weren't very good. Switzerland should have scored many, many more goals. What is your expectation today for Canada? I mean, presumably it's a win, but obviously the more goals you score comes in really handy with the tiebreaker and the way it is in this group and in the World Cup in general. With first place sitting there, you know, for the taking potentially. Do you see a very front-footed Jesse Marsh team, as it usually is, against a team that does generally sit very deep?
I didn't know if it's taking that. Yeah. He said it's going to be like that, right? And the The roof closed. I think I played one game when the roof was closed at BC Place when the upper deck was open against Mexico. It was all Mexican fans, right? But it's going to be different tonight. And I know what that can be like. And it's going to be loud. It was incredible to see what I saw on Friday, Canadian jerseys. I've never seen anything quite like that. I got getting the GO train home. I shared an Uber with some Canada fans and just hearing their stories, right? It's like, and the same, it's going to be the same out west, probably even more so, right? It's, they love their football out there as well. So it's going to be front footed. They're going to need a better start. It's as simple as that. And if you can build off the momentum and play the way they want to play, it's just Qatar can, they'll be okay absorbing the pressure. They're a different team as well from 2022. So it'll be an interesting one. Can we break down that low block? And they've got that counterattacking threat as well. So
53,000 fans, Dubs, fill that stadium. Mm-hmm. Jesse Marsh is once again very, very excited about the potential for this red out. I've seen a few Qatari shirts around town here, not many. That maroon and red are kind of similar. So regardless, it's going to look pretty good, no matter how many Qatari fans are there. But yeah, it's going to be something pretty special. Dubs, Jesse just said yesterday, he said, Alfonso Davis, he's available for this one.
Yeah.
Do you believe him?
Do I believe him? That, speaking of loaded questions, that's a loaded question. I think it's a big shiny object. I think it's a distraction, and I think it's mind games and seeds that they're planting for Switzerland and beyond. I just hope that the, like, inside those walls, that group, they're focused and they're on the same page. And I don't doubt that, but I do worry that this has become of a little bit of a distraction for the group. And he also mentioned Moise Bambido looking really good in training, and Joel Waterman as well. And I was happy to hear him talk about Joel, because we haven't talked about Joel a lot. He's a fabulous teammate and player. He's been a good servant to the team. And he's a good quality defender. But I think with two defenders on yellows, in Luke de Fougerolle and Alistair Johnston, I already mentioned that I think we might see Nico Seguir at some point, but there might be some substitutions made in the way of your center backs just to protect de Fougerolle for the next game. But I wanted to ask Eddie, do you think that across that front line, we saw the substitutions, a triple sub, and then obviously the big one, which was Jonathan David coming off. Obviously, Laren bags that goal, the Brampton bagsman that he is. But I thought Ali Ahmed really would be giving Jesse Marsh headaches. And I know that maybe how many minutes does he have? How fit is he? How much can he give is a question. But I see him starting. So I wanted to get your take on it.
No, I'm glad you talked about that, because so much of it has been about the Kyle, Jonathan thing, who's going to play up front. But Ali came on and made an impact massively. Mm-hmm. And I think if he's fit, he looked sharp. He looked dynamic. He was good on the ball. He looked like he was playing for Canada in the past, right? And when he came on, and I think BC Place, Vancouver Stadium is an important place to him as well, right? Mm-hmm. So that might be a little bit, you get a little extra 5-10% of the players sometimes, and Jesse will be good at finding that, what those moments are, right? It might be, okay, he's playing at back and it's not his home, but that's where he played his football. He made his name for himself. So it might be the right thing to do. But then again, Tejan wasn't quite the Tejan we knew the other day, but does he give him another chance? So we'll see.
I think he probably does, right? I think if Ali comes in, he's probably going to be on the left. Mm-hmm. And that's nothing against what Liam Miller, because he's obviously a very good player, has his moments too. Has that long throw as well, which is a weapon mm-hmm. they use. But Ali mm-hmm. from set pieces is great. And when he was taking that responsibility the last few months for Canada, they were getting some great service from Ali's free kicks.
Mm-hmm. So, Charms, can we also circle back to Dubs's not believing Jesse Marsh? And I think this is your influence, your skepticism, how cynical you've become.
Yes, his cynicism is creeping into everybody.
Yeah, it's creeping into you, Dubs. And the other thing, David, you corrected yourself. I think you've been FIFA'd a little bit with the Toronto State, the BC Stadium, Vancouver Stadium. Yeah. I was like, the BC place? You're allowed to say it.
I thought I was on the BBC there.
Yeah, I know. There are no standards here.
Hey, Eddie, before we let you go, you mentioned there that you're looking ahead for your career, coaching, obviously you're involved in coaching, you have been for some time now, right? With one of the greatest teams in Canadian soccer, for sure. In fact, the greatest team in Canadian soccer, let's be honest here. But you have ambitions to be a head coach at some point, and you are looking proactively?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, when I stepped away from Hamilton, it was to spend some time living. I wanted to be a manager, right? So I had to finish my licensing. We had another baby on the way. So I've taken some time to be a dad, which I wasn't able to do for my first two. Obviously, I was able, but I mean, be home when they're youngsters. And so that, and then finishing my licensing. Like I said, I recently interviewed for a job. Unfortunately, I didn't get it, but it's part of the process. It's exciting. It's all experience for me in having those interview processes. And I'm coaching at Waterloo here locally, these under 20s, the OPL, which is for me a nice group to get my hands on in terms of coaching the way I want to coach. Ticked all the boxes in the licensing, but it's really about not developing a style of play, but just who I want to be, make mistakes. I can make mistakes at that level. Try out all these new mental skills dubs I have for these young guys because they need it, these 17-year-old kids. But yeah, it's exciting. So I'm excited about that. But again, I had the media thing gave me that same sort of feeling I had as a footballer and as a coach. And that's, I might need to scratch that itch a little bit because I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that. And it was the way I had to watch the game, with intent, and not just like kids running around or watching at the pub. You watch the game, you're into it. It was like being on the bench. It was like being involved that deeply. So yeah, I was excited. So who knows what'll come from that, but.
Well, I mean, there's a little bit more stability in the media world than there is football management. Not much more.
Fine margins.
But I'll say this, listen, looking at the, not to, you know, put you in a tough spot here, but the CPL, I mean, for them to eventually see the ascendancy of a former Canadian international who became an assistant coach to becoming a full-time head coach in the CPL, that's their dream. Mm-hmm. That's what they want to see. So
yeah, that's the pathway.
I think we'd be seeing David Edgar at some point on the sidelines of the CPL to start with, and then who knows from there where you go. Just saying, that's purely from a selfish standpoint. Hope we see you in the media as well, because we'll be using you again a lot, because you're great.
I appreciate
Thanks so much for this, mate. Really enjoyed it.
Appreciate that, guys. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the World Cup. Good luck tonight.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, we'll get you back on at some point, because we need fresh voices.
We need you. We need you for content.
you sound great. We got to have you.
Awesome. Good mic. Yeah.
Where's the mic? It's all about the mic.
I have to say, I'm a bit disappointed. I wanted to ask you just quickly before you go about the ones that a lot of the Brits use, where like the mics are right up against, it almost looks like it's almost got a mouthpiece.
I'm just really
curious about it.
I had that one. I'll send you a picture, but I had to go home and wash my mustache because I didn't know who was using it. But it's the guy kept tapping me. The producer kept tapping me to say, like, put it closer because it has to be right on your lip, or there's the sound's not great. So he kept tapping me, and I was like that. But yeah, those are the microphones we use.
It's a bit I was hoping we did. If you're a scuba diver, right, you have to generally shave the moustache if you got a beard, so it seals better, right?
I think if I shaved any of this, my wife would leave me. So,
yeah, well, trust me, I have a stubble because if I shave my face, my podcast friends ridicule me and say my face is disgusting.
You have no friends on the podcast.
It is.
Yeah, we don't like his face. Colleagues. We like yours though. So come back soon.
Yeah, you guys,
shave the otherwise. Thanks, Eddie. Cheers,
Eddie. Hold on, before we go, what's your uncle's pub?
McMullen's on Highland.
Everybody, get down to McMullen's on Highland for the game today.
Happy for the shout out. Yeah, big new TVs on. Love it.
We'll send some gin your way.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
I've got some free prime gin. All right.
Oh, thanks, no, I appreciate that. Yeah. Bye-bye.
That is David Edgar, and we will send some gin down there. Absolutely. That's brilliant. That was great insight, though, from a former international. And if you haven't checked out Eddie's golf in Newcastle, back in England back in the day, just check it out. One of the great goals from a Canadian footballer ever. Brilliant. Great guy, and we're getting back on for sure. Trip McClellan is a legend himself of Canadian comic scene. This hour, 22 minutes, right in the middle, too, of the Be Nice Tour. Get your tickets now. Trent, the show, mate. How you doing?
Good, Buzz. How are you? How are you guys?
Doing great. Let me ask you, right? We're doing Messi and old people. And should they be rested? No, you're not our old person.
You brought me on. You start with an age question right out the gate, James.
Well, I'll be going with Wonder otherwise.
It's 7:13 a.m. here in Calgary. Okay? You think I was up for 4 hours already? Like, hey, here's someone who can talk about old people. Hey.
You were icing your face.
What's going on here? Over here, looks maxing. And this guy's, what are you talking about, James? Like, we have bringing in an elderly expert here.
You've been on your walk and you've fed the pigeons already, haven't you? I know you have.
Right. I've already driven the kids out of the yard with a stick. I'll tell you about age, man. A bunch of guys here in the neighborhood gather every Thursday for an hour just for a kickabout. And I haven't played since July of last year. And man, I am hobbling around. My wife's like, do you get paid to play? Like, why would you be going to the soccer? And just, I'm like, oh, it's fun. It's good. I love so much. She's like, you can't walk. You can't do stairs. What do you do? I'm like, yeah, no, it gets better every couple of days. So I can only imagine if I'm, I think, man, if you're messy, I'll tell you who I feel bad for is the people who buy tickets. Who's like, who finally got Argentina World Cup tickets. And then you're going to go and go, is he playing? Oh no, he's resting. He's down there in a tracksuit eating a hot dog. I'd be like, oh God, this is crazy. But I do understand it. You know, if you don't need to risk him, why do it? He is getting up there. I mean, he's not the age I am, but he's getting up there. So you got to be smart. You got to think long term for the tournament.
I tell you what, Trent, you don't look old, but your wife sounded old the way she was speaking.
Wow. Wow. Never met my wife, Jimmy, and you're going to go there right at the
gate? I know. Right. You went after your wife, Trent. What's that about?
Voice just sounded bold.
She's 80.
Play soccer?
You're like, what's he doing? What's he going to do? Yeah, that's terrible. It's terrible for me and terrible for my family, and it's going to be a long day for me now, so thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate it.
Well, listen, we've all got our wife voice, right, we use when talking about our wives. Usually it's a whiny voice in my case. It's not so much an old voice. So. Hey, Dubs, when JP's doing an Amy voice, what kind of voice is it?
My husband went after me this morning for wearing a Def Leppard t-shirt. He's like, you're not wearing that out of the house, are you? I was like, it's one of the first albums that I bought. Like, why can't I? He's like, no, you need to not wear that. I'm like, okay.
You like this? Don't worry, Dubs. It's armless.
Well done.
Tank top.
No need for one-arm hysteria.
Oh, well done. See, we're comics here. We're the comics
wow.
here.
Wow, I've walked into the right room. This is on fire right now.
That was good. Fire. Put your hands up in the air.
Oh, wow. You want to talk about dating yourself? All right, let's put them down. Right. Let's put them down Let's lower him here.
We're going ahead.
All right, Trent. So listen, are we overreacting here, or is this World Cup the greatest thing to ever happen to Canada?
Oh, I think it's the greatest thing ever. Yeah. That's why I didn't understand the pushback about Jesse Marsh's reaction to stuff. Yes. I was like, we're at a World Cup, man. We're hosting a World Cup in Canada, and we just pounded a team 6-0. Yeah, you're going to celebrate a bit. I'll tell you a story. You guys got a minute?
We do.
So anyway, I was on a cruise ship once against my will. Now, I've only taken one cruise in my life. It was a wedding, had to go to it. So I go to this cruise ship, and they had a little 4-on-4 soccer court, you know? So by day three, there's been plenty of rum and cokes. I mean, I've been buffeting it like something sick, you know? I've been out of control at sea, basically, is what's been happening. So I feel guilt. I'm like, hey, I should do some kind of cardiovascular thing and join in this soccer game, right? And there's people from all over the world playing. So I go out there and I play. And look, I'm no D-Row, okay? I'm going to put that out there. I'm not a D-Row, okay? Right off the top. Okay, but I can hold my own. You know, I'm out there playing. So we play for about an hour. The game ends and some guy from another country goes, where are you from? And I go, Canada. And he goes, Canada? They play soccer in Canada? So I throw this guy off the ship. I throw him off the ship. He lands in the middle of the Mediterranean. I assume still there, bobbing. I have no idea. But it just smacked of the arrogance and the dismissive nature people have when they talk about Canada and football at the same time. And I'm sure everyone who's played the game at some point, right? You've all felt that. You got that snub, kind of a second-class citizen in the game kind of thing. And I think Jesse Marsh has tapped into all that. He knows Canada as a country has taken it in the teeth for the last bunch of years from the U.S. administration. In the football scene, we've had it happen for a long time. And so it was time to come out and go, man, we're done. We're done being nice. We're done. We're here. We've arrived, and it's going to be a tough out. And I think that's where all that came from. So I'm like, blow it up. He should have rode a horse around BC Place. I would have rode a horse and kicked back and gone mad. I'd still be there. I'd still be going around going, six. We had six. Like, I'm like, dude, it's a World Cup. Like we're supposed to be reserved and kind of, well, you know, we're happy to be. We already did that. We did that at Qatar. We learned. We were happy to be there. It's time. It is time to kick the door open.
Yeah, 100%. I love it. And we watched Egypt celebrate their win in Vancouver two nights ago, their first ever World Cup win. And as if they won the World Cup, no one's whining about them. You know, everyone's saying, oh, what a great scene that is. Look at the Egyptian fans and staff and coaches running around the pitch with a flag. You know, like, good for them. Like, this is a World Cup. A bit of nationalism's okay now and again. Be proud.
Exactly. And I think people are used to Canada being more reserved. So we're kind of not where they think we should be anymore. They turn their head and we're somewhere else now. You know, that's what it is. They're not used to us beating our chest going like, yeah, we're actually quite good at this. And we're at home. We're putting a show on. And I like it. I like the upstream nature of it. And I think it's time. This country's never felt more patriotic, I don't think. When you walk around, when you hear people talk, the noise in BC Place, I don't know if I've ever heard that. It's as loud as a sporting event as I've ever heard in Canada. NHL playoffs, anything. It was electric. I had friends who were there who didn't invite me. And, you know, they're there. You know the irony? You know the irony of that? So Thursday we get together. I play soccer, guys, on Thursdays. I get together with a bunch of, oh, my memory's gone. I told you the story. So anyway, I show up with my stick and I roll around. And they all had tickets to go to this game tomorrow, you know? And I'm like, oh, I didn't know you guys were going to Vancouver for the game. Did anyone email me about that? No. So anyway, the boys are all going. I'm not going, but thanks for bringing that up, guys.
Sorry. No, but yeah, I think part of it is also the fact that most of the hate and vitriol is coming from the South. It's coming from the States. Yeah. A lot of ex-players are whining and complaining about Jesse Marsh and American, which makes it even sweeter, right? Yeah. If it was England or Italy or whoever it is, you know, France, it'd be okay, whatever. You're just Euro snobs anyway. But the fact that the Americans are upset is fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's so good. Also, I feel like Jesse Marsh is like, hey, you didn't want to date me, so I found someone else to date, and it's going really well. I really like this new person I'm dating, and we might be together for a long, long time. And they're like, well, what about? Do the wife voice you? Hey, but what about? I thought you liked me. Don't you want to date me? No, I don't want to date you anymore. Actually, I realize I have a better situation down here. So there's a bit of that too, I think.
Yeah, Trent, I was wondering there. You know, Canada is new to the World Cup. This is only our third appearance. Who did you cheer for during the World? You're a big footy fan. Who did you cheer for other nations while Canada was finding its way?
I think I cheered for England, obviously, right? You were, you know, that's the only league you really had access to back in the day, right? I mean, you guys remember, you know, Graham Leggett and the soccer news and all that stuff. I was like, oh, I was tapped into, you know, the British game quite a bit. So I was cheering for England quite a bit and would feel the heartbreak. But I remember thinking like, my God, what would it be like if Canada actually got to the World Cup? How amazing would that be? And I remember 86 because Canada qualified for the 86 World Cup. Like the last game they played to qualify was in St. John's, Newfoundland, right?
That's right.
So I remember going like, my God, that's just like in the province, they're qualifying for this game. So I thought every 4 years, this is going to be an automatic thing. We're back. We've qualified. We're in another World Cup. And who would have thought you would have to wait that many years to get back to one? So, I was quite the England fan. And I remember that 86 World Cup and like Michel Platini and all those players. So It was great. I remember Bruce Wilson had a soccer camp in Newfoundland shortly after the World Cup. And it was like a beetle showed up. We were like, it's Bruce Wilson. Bruce Wilson's here. We're getting free t-shirts. We're getting free t-shirts. Bruce Wilson's here. Like, it was insane, dude. It was so cool. It was awesome.
Well, my follow-up is, you've just aged yourself. Are you taking your Canadian pension plan early? Or are you pushing it back a little bit?
Seems to be some technical difficulty here.
But don't do that to us, please. Our technical issues.
I know. We really do have them.
Ubs and what? Yourself.
Thank you.
Trent, don't worry. Listen, Wong is older than you are, I think. So yeah, you know, all these aging jokes. I mean,
well, do you want to know how old I am? I'll lay it down right now, guys. Mm-hmm. I got no problem with it. Okay. I'm 53. I'm 53, yeah, guys. Good. Okay. Yeah. So
good age.
We're pretty close.
Still walking.
Apart from Jimmy and Dubs.
I chew my own food. Yep. That's how I do it.
Yeah.
I'll chew my own food. I don't care.
Well, it's black, don't crack. And I made up for Asians, beige don't age. So there's my,
I'd get that on a sweatshirt and quick, my man.
Thank you.
I've got a whitish shite. I got that.
But you got your bucket hat. You look great in the bucket
hat. Yeah, this doesn't age me at all wearing this, does it?
You just need zinc on your nose now.
Yeah, that's right.
You look like you're on the Oasis reunion tour. Like you should be.
Yeah, exactly.
You should be tuning guitars backstage or something.
It's funny, you know, you talk about, you know, Bruce Wilson being a Beatle, but there's been a bit of a thing with the media here the last little while when there's always a question to these players. How is it, you know, you're still walking around town and not being recognized? You know, these guys are coming from Europe where they can't do that. And they're all kind of saying, well, we are actually getting recognized now. We are. I think, who was it? Moise Bembido yesterday said, we get swarmed in certain places, which is, I love to hear. And he's laughing about it, right? But that's progress. And Jesse Marsh calls it, you know, this movement we're in with Canadian soccer. I'm doing a little video on it today. This movement began for me in 2019 when Canada beat the States at BMO Field 2-0. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, actually, this is a really good men's team we have here suddenly. There is still that concern, though. Is it going to be just a moment? And we talked about it on yesterday's show a little bit. Because we have got a bit of a chip on our shoulder as Canadian soccer fans. And paranoia, I think, is what it is. That, man, it all could go horribly wrong. This is too nice. We're waiting for the other shoe to drop here. Shoe to drop, is that right? Sounds about right. What do you think, Trent? Is it bigger than a moment, this? Is this going to have a legacy?
I think so, and I think so because of social media. Like, it's just a different landscape in terms of players having their own individual accounts. So that reaches a lot further, right? And I think we have to have more of an abundance mindset, right? That, like, hey, man, like, this game has grown quite a bit in the last 15 years in this country, right? CPL, obviously, we've talked about before. I went to two games already this year, two Calgary games, and, like, it's electric there. Kids are wearing jerseys and scarves, and there's little boys and little girls there running around. There's good, healthy crowds. I know you want to keep improving the game and we want to keep getting people in seats all across the league, but it's there. I went to a sports store last night to look at – can we do a topic on new boots at some point?
Yes, you know, that's next, 100%.
You want to talk about feeling old? I go, where's the Copas?
Right?
Where could I get the Copa Mundi? What? They're all synthetic and they've got an ankle sock. Okay. What? I already have socks. I got socks. I'll wear my own sock.
Okay. It makes a huge difference, apparently, you know.
Yeah, huge. I'm sure it does to the crowd I play with. They're going to go, what do you got on? What are you wearing there, bud? But you go up there and they had no Canadian jerseys left. That, like, everything was gone. And I get it. It's a World Cup. People get caught up in it. But I do think there was a pressure on this squad to do well, to at least get into the next round, to do some damage. And not only that, to play with a bit of flair, to go, hey, man, we have players who can score goals. That's important to sell the game going forward, to go to put that person who's on the fence, to convince them that we are a soccer nation. We have a lot of people who play it. I'm on the world stage. We're quite good. The women have already done that, right, to a large extent. And now it is time for the men to kick that door in. There's no doubt about it, because the legacy is depending on it.
I think that's why a lot of people had a problem with your earlier point about Jesse Marsh and his celebrations and how joyful he was, how exuberant he was. Because people are like, act like you've been here before. Yes, it's a historic first win, but you've not accomplished. I'm not saying I agree with this.
Right.
Like, this is like what everybody else is saying that didn't love it. You know, yeah. That act like you've been there before and you haven't reached the bar that you've set for yourselves. I think that's where the criticism came from. But I have no problem with it. That like sideline, like, I don't know what he's doing there, Trent. Is he chopping like smoked meat? I'm from Montreal. That's my reference. Like, what is he doing there? Like, come back to that. But like, I love that because I don't think it's about, you know, your analogy about, you know, the former girlfriend with the US and it didn't work out. And now you're showcasing the new gal on your arm and splashing it over Facebook or whatever, you know, current social media you're on, whether
it's Instagram or TikTok.
I know I'm not on Facebook, but I kind of am. Yeah, I'm old. But I don't think it's about that. I don't really think it's performative. I don't think Jesse feels like it's about himself. I think he's just celebrating. And I think he's dictating to the guys and making it okay to celebrate the moment, to come back to your conversation, Sharms. It's about the movement. But on the day, it was an emphatic victory where they had to respond to the in-game injury to Ismaël Koné. And they still were, you know, stepped on the throats of the Qataris and still attacked, were still ruthless. So celebrate that. And then you move on to the next thing. You don't need tacit approval from the US or from the haters in Canada who are like, you haven't arrived yet. Well, no kidding. Mm-hmm. But celebrate the moment because that was a big deal.
I agree. Well put. I feel like the Americans put a joy tariff.
Yeah, so good.
We're gonna tax that 15%. Are you guys laughing? Are you guys having a good time up there? Yeah, we're gonna tax that. It's like, just get up, just shut up. Just shut up. It's our World Cup too. We're hosting. We had a big win, big result. It's the first time we got a W. It's like, yeah, celebrate. I think you're right. Be in the moment and don't let anyone else dictate your reaction. That was a very American thing to do too.
Yes.
Yeah. How come they're so happy up there? I don't know.
Well, look at Nagelsmann, the German coach, and he reacts and complains about everything, celebrates everything. And then when the Germans scored that late goal, it was like they won the World Cup and they've been there before. They've won it four times. Yep. So it gives you an idea how big that is and important it is, and it's worth celebrating.
I agree. And I think the thing with Marsh too, like, none of this stuff's in a vacuum, right? Like, the pressure that team was under, all the injuries they had pre-World Cup coming into it, what the lineup is going to be. They get a bit of heat from game one because they wasted some chances. There was a lot on their shoulders, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they felt it. As much as you go, hey, we got a job to do, internalize it, like, that's there. That's there. And you, when you have a performance like that, there's a release. There's a release because you're like, we answered all the questions. Every question that was asked of us, we answered emphatically. So there's anybody who's talking shit about your team or your selections or individual player performance, you deliver like that, yeah, you're going to have some swagger afterwards. So I'm all about it. I think they should all get a horse. Everyone rides around afterwards. And I mean, you go out in the streets with it. I mean, you know what I mean? You'd be – if I was on that team, they'd be like, Trent, we won 5 days ago. You got to stop. You got to come in. You gotta come out of this. I'm like, no, but we won the game. We won the game.
Yeah, now you need to tone it down. But so seriously, going back to that, he's like a human meme generator. Like, what was he doing on a sideline? You as a comedian, take that like 3 seconds. What is he doing?
I don't know. It kind of was like, as if like, yeah, we're going in this direction. It was a bit of a Cunha surfing thing from Manchester United. Mm. Like, just kind of, you know, like, I'm doing the thing. I don't know, man. I think you have that release of emotion in that moment. And Lord knows what's going on in his head and what they were thinking individually. But I'm here for it, man. I hope he does a backflip next time. I want to be just the most. I think it should get bigger. That's the other thing, too. Like, I think we should take the feedback and go, oh, you didn't like that? Oh, watch this. We've got pyrotechnics on the sideline. Start the smoke machine. We got, you know. And again, these guys are aware it's only for the day. There's another job to do. Very aware of it. I'm sure they are. But you're here to enjoy the moment and celebrate and be part of it with the fans. That's a large part of it, too, is to pull them in, to bring them on a journey. This is what this whole thing is about. It's not about a quick wave and then get down the tunnel and shower. It's like, dude, this is historic. It's historic. So I'm all about it.
Yeah. Do you know, the other thing is too, when you look at it, everybody's celebrating in their own way. Now, Jesse Marsh goes around and goes 6-0 and celebrating with our fans. but the Norwegians can go sit on a pitch and start rowing, and that's okay. You guys can row all you want.
Yeah.
But you can't say, yes, we scored six.
Yeah, that's enough now, Canada. That's enough. Well, Norway's rowing through here. Just
well, that's a cultural thing, Jimmy. You know, that's different. You know, it's part of the culture, the rowing. So, you know.
But I do think it's part of that, that Canada has been known as the more reserved. We're polite. We hold the door for others. And I think Jesse Marsh is like, no, we're done with that. We're done with that. That hasn't won us anything on a soccer pitch on the men's side. It's time now. So I agree. Guys, I'll caveat that with Gold Cup champions. I want to preface the. I want to say it did win us things. Don't get me wrong. Don't hang up. Don't walk out again, Jimmy, like you did earlier. I remember. I remember it. It matters. It mattered. But to think, you know, you have to wait a long time for those bigger successes, right? So it's like, yeah, celebrate. This comes 4 years. We may never see another World Cup in Canada in our lifetime. It's another part of it. So there's a lot. There's a lot attached to it.
I think Jesse also has been fighting for respect as a coach because he's an American for a long time, right? He got at Leeds, for example, he actually did a pretty good job there overall, but he got ridiculed because he's American. And he's now saying, well, now screw you. You know, I'm a very good coach and I'm going to enjoy this while I can. Do you look at this World Cup as a comic? Do you use it for material, Trent? I mean, all these different people from around the world coming in, all these different narratives. I mean, there's got to be a lot there. And do you blend that into your shows, your current tour, or is that all prepared already?
I kind of on this thing, the Be Nice Tour is more about kind of how we've chosen different ways with which we interact with one another. Whereas back in the day, it was quite different. You know, if you got out of line, I mean, there was a certain result as a result.
Consequences.
No one was looking to unpack your feelings. No. Make sure it was like you did that. I didn't like it, so I'm going to punch you in the head. And that was a typical thing. The cops weren't called. People were just like, he got punched in the head because he said something mean. We're done here. Like, that was the end of it. Like, it was – and we've gotten too loose nowadays, too loose online, being disrespectful to people because there's no consequences to your actions. So there's a little bit of that in my tour right now in stand-up, but – I don't know, man. I get very sentimental about the World Cup because I watched it since I was a child to see all the different countries come together. Everyone is getting along for the most part. You're celebrating all the host nations as well. So it's like, to me, man, it's a beautiful thing. Like, I get very defensive of football and soccer because, you know, sometimes people who are hockey guys are like, oh, they're out there rolling around. I'm like, you go off after 45 seconds, dude. You when you play hockey, you're out there for 40 seconds and then you can sit down. This guy's out there running around in 35 degree temperatures for an hour and a half. Yeah, he goes down every now and then. You think you would? Do you think you would? So I defend it a little bit, but yeah.
Of course, we do have hydration breaks now, which kind of, you know.
Oh, don't get me started.
Commercial breaks.
Commercial breaks, yeah.
It's four quarters now, basically, right? That's what you're doing. You're kind of planning for that first hydration break. All right, fellas, bring it in. Here's what they're doing. You're going to go over here. Like, that's why I felt really bad the other night when we had the momentum in the Qatar game and then suddenly hydration break and I forgot. I'm like, oh, no, here we go. Like, you know, you got your foot on their throat. You want to keep it going, right? So, yeah, it's been interesting.
I wanted to ask Craig so we could talk about it, though. We were on the dark web last night, and you were asking, doing some research, Craig, about what. Sorry, are you guys hearing that?
Yeah.
It's gone now.
It was a lot of you. It was a lot of you.
We were talking about top 20 results that Canada has because we were playing Switzerland. To make this a little bit about match day minus one. Where are we standing for this match day? And then we'll take Trent's take on it too.
Yeah. I mean, we're up against obviously a side, Switzerland, that have players in the top tier leagues, best leagues in the world. And the last time we, outside of US and Mexico, the last time we beat somebody in the top 20, I'm not sure when that is. In a competitive match, it's probably the Gold Cup against Colombia, I would think. It's been that long. I mean, we don't play against them. We've had some good draws against the French. We played the Dutch. We played
what Gold Cup are we talking about? Your Gold Cup when you won or the Gold Cup from last summer?
No, 2000.
Oh, my God.
outside of Canada or Mexico and the United States. When was the last time we beat somebody in the top 20?
Yeah.
2000.
Other states
in the US. The US.
Yeah. 15. Yeah. US. Yeah.
Outside the US and Mexico.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Oh, yeah. I think you're right. I think you're right. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Been a long
time. You, they haven't had a chance to play that many teams because generally speaking, the top teams don't want to play Canada. You're not playing in tournaments outside Copa America once. You're not playing against them in tournaments often. And as far as friendly is concerned, it's not like England are saying, can we please play Canada? At least maybe that'll change now with us getting respect, right? But yeah, it doesn't happen often.
But wasn't Uruguay? Didn't we beat Uruguay on pens? They would have been in the top 20.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Craig.
Sorry.
No, but it's a valid point, though. It's very rare. It's very rare. And I think we are dismissing the Swiss team right now. They're an excellent team. And like Craig mentioned, their players are playing in the top leagues around Europe. We have what? Is it top leagues? You said four, right, Craig? I think you said.
Yeah, there'll be four of our guys probably in top leagues. Yeah. It just gives you an idea what we're up against. It's a different task than we've seen in the first two games against Bosnia and Qatar. It's a real test. Not to say we can't do it, and we're playing at home, makes a big difference, but it is a different animal.
I wonder, too, that – I don't know if you guys can speak to this, too, but when you have a game that comes off the rails like the last game did and you're playing up two men – to now go into a game that's highly competitive with, you assume, 11v11 for 90 minutes. Like, there is a mental switch too. The adrenaline and everything that was released from the last game, you got to kind of refocus. And now we have a stiffer opponent. The game itself is going to be very different. So how quickly can they adjust to, like, oh, we're on a new day here. This is a new set of circumstances. So I think it'll be a tougher challenge, no doubt about it. It's going to be a tougher test, but I think they can get the job done. If you said, hey, we can finish top of the group and we're at home and we're playing Switzerland, I think they would take that. They would go, okay.
Yeah. They only need a draw.
Yeah. You need a draw against Switzerland at home at BC Place in front of a packed crowd. You mentally, as an athlete, you should be, I'll take that.
Okay. Yeah, I think too, what Forrest is saying, I think with all of the discussion around Canada and how we've grown into the tournament, yes, it's a small sample size. It's only the two matches in a group, but you understand that you're going up against a team that knows how to play tournament football. So you walk into that, your eyes wide open, but you also, to your point, Trent, like if you've presented this to the players, they would be rearing to go up to the challenge, knowing that what they have to do in order to stay in Vancouver, get 7 days rest versus, I think if they finish third in the group, they'll play Sunday. They'll be the team almost on the shortest amount of rest or the least amount of rest and the shortest turnaround to start the knockouts, which is crazy. But what has also built is the support, going back to the moment versus a movement, like the fans that showed out at Toronto Stadium / BMO, the energy and the vibe in BC Place. I mean, that was palpable even through a screen. I was at Canada House. I'm sure in Calgary you could feel it, or maybe you can talk about like the vibe and the buzz on the ground. But the team now knows that that's what they're walking into. That's going to be backing them in the toughest moments versus a team that is battle tested in Switzerland that have quality up and down the roster. And they're really going to get tested in a way they have not yet been in this tournament. But I mean, you know that you really do have a home crowd. So like Forrest and Jimmy, you guys never had that. I never had that playing in Canada. So this is a really special time that I think this team is going to really fully embrace.
Well, yes.
Well, correct. This is like two pods in a row where I've said stuff and I think my internet has gone out because there's no reaction from anybody.
I know. By the way, Dubs, I should mention Uruguay beat Canada on penalties at Copa.
Oh, sorry. So what was the tournament?
The Venezuela match, right?
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
They're not top 20.
No.
No, but they're a decent team, though. Absolutely.
I think the thing with this World Cup, too, is that Canada's got to deal with expectations for the first time, that you're kind of expected to get to the next round. You're expected to beat Qatar. It's like that's a different weight to carry around when you have expectations on your shoulder, right? So, but these guys, like I said, they've got a swagger about them, and I think they're ready for it. I think they're ready for that moment.
Carl Lahren was asked yesterday about that, about how do you feel, you know, being just a point away from winning the group? You know, how am I? He goes, no, this is where we knew it'd be. We expected to be here. Sure. And yeah. I love that answer. We the media and certainly the fans are saying, get out the group, that's success. And I think it probably is when we look back on this World Cup, no matter what happens.
Yep.
But the team's always said from day one, they've said, we're going to win the group. That's the goal. Win the group. Let's stay in Vancouver as long as possible.
Yep.
And quite honestly, that 7 or 8 days between games is, at this point in the tournament, is huge, especially for this team. I'm watching yesterday, four players were under doing fitness testing, not testing, but a fitness session. Moyes Bimbido, Promise David, Joel Waterman, and my brain stops right now. But anyway, regardless, these guys were running hard because they haven't played minutes yet, or many minutes. And watching Moyes out there, he was going full out. And him and Promise were like neck to neck. It was a great race, actually a sprint. It was cool to watch.
I saw that. You posted it, right?
It wasn't me. Someone else posted it, I think.
Okay, yeah, but for a big man, I know we're looking at Moyes and we're scrutinizing his movements because when we saw him in Uzbekistan, like it did not look good, right? He's a guy that didn't look ready and we thought he's surely not making this roster, but now he's had the benefit of time. But you see him go up against Promise for a big man. Boy, does he ever get moving fast.
The earth shakes. The whole ground was
so
like,
impressive.
What's that? And it's Promise flying by.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's impressive. By the way, you know we had the argument about calluses?
Mm-hmm.
And bone calluses?
On the bone,
Moyes has a lump on his shin from that broken leg. It's like, Jesus, it looks painful. Yeah. But that is generally how shins heal. I understand that. But just noticing that yesterday. But he was speaking very well yesterday too, Trent Moyes. And do you think... is there a world where Moyes starts tomorrow, given that he hasn't played, hasn't started a game for a long time? He's the best defender. He's sprinting well. And Luke and Derek Cornelius are playing really very well together.
Yeah, I don't know if it'd be a start tomorrow, but maybe some minutes if the game is well in hand, you know, where it's one of those things you kind of ease him into it. You don't want to put someone in a situation that they might not be ready for and it all falls apart. So I just don't know if you want to put that pressure on his shoulders right out the gate, but... I think they have guys too who are chomping at the bit, right, to get in there and be a part of it. You're at home, you're at a World Cup, you're sitting there on the bench, you take the warm up, and now you're just sitting on that bench for a while. You're constantly glazing over at Marsh every now and then, like, hey, remember how I'm on the team? Remember? Just saying. I'm just saying, dude. Go ahead. Yeah. Do what you're doing. I'm just putting it out there. Like, you want to be on the pitch and get minutes. So, you know, and these teams, you guys know, like, it's all about what you believe in house. Like, the rest of it's all noise. What anyone else's expectation is, all that stuff, the rest of it's all noise. You have your own goals. You know how you want to go about it. So I would love to see him get some minutes, but hopefully it's a situation where the game is well in hand and I feel like we can put him in and kind of ease him into it. So I think that's important.
Jimmy, yellow cards. There's three to defenders right now. DC, Alistair, and... see, it's early in the morning. The brain's not quite ticking over right now. Someone else.
Is Richie?
No, Richie hasn't. No, it's Alistair, it's DC, and Luke. Is Luke in the yellow card?
Yeah.
I think he is.
Luke.
So at what point, if you're Jesse Marsh, do you worry about yellow cards and your selection, or is this more in-game management regarding yellow cards?
You're worried right now. Absolutely. You are going into this match, and you'd be talking to your friend and say, hey, play physical, but be smart. Don't get sucked into any altercations. Don't do anything stupid. Just play your game. And it's difficult too, because as a player, you want to play physical. You want to be on that front foot and closing down hard and playing that aggressive style. But you've got to keep in the back of your mind, I got to be careful here. You know, I can't go in as hard as I would like to because I can't afford to get a yellow. But nothing else can change. I mean, you still got to stick to your game plan, still stick to your identity. But it will definitely be in the player's back of mind, that's for sure.
We know we have some new listeners. Sorry, and I'm going to ask this question. A second yellow card after an initial, when you're on one, after successive games, it's a red for the, is it a red or is it just a yellow and you miss the next game? Sorry, I'm confused on how it's... Dubs, anybody?
Well, there was a second amnesty period that was added after the group stage. And so the one that's after quarters is still there. And so you've added it. But I think it only wipes a single one. So if like the players who are already on yellows now, if they pick up another one versus Switzerland, to the best of my ability, at least, then they would have to miss the round of 32 game. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jimmy and Craig?
Yes, yes. Single yellow card received in the group stage does not carry over the round of 32.
Right, that will get wiped.
All players begin the knockout rounds with zero cards. Mm-hmm. After the quarterfinals, all previous yellow cards are wiped again.
That's and if someone would get a yellow during the match, let's say 15 minutes in, are they, you can continue playing?
Okay. You're missing the round of 32 against Korea or whoever it's going to be, and it could be Korea. Okay. It should be we won't speculate as to Korea's
formation. Well, if they win it, it could be Algeria, no?
Yeah, this is if they win it,
Algeria, there's or Austria. A
bunch of I mean the permutations. This World Cup, 48 teams, Trent. These guys love it now. They say it's great. Oh yeah, best thing ever. I still hate it. Because it's clunky, but we see some great stories. It's about the romance, according to Jimmy. Ah, the stories are lovely. Ah, good old Curacao Verde. You know, what do you think? Do you like it?
I don't mind it. Again, I'm a bit of a romantic football wise. You know, it's like you want these countries to get there and try and shock the world, and it is the world game. So why not bring everybody? I say let everyone qualify.
Don't do it.
I say we let everyone qualify. Dude.
They do. It's called qualifying.
No. Everyone qualifies for the World Cup. I mean, it's every country in the world. Like, make a true World Cup for doing it. You know.
Okay, so how you do it is what you do is, you have these regional competitions in Europe and Africa and North America and Asia, and they all play together, and a number of those teams then go to the next round called the World.
Wow, I'm feeling a bit of snark from you over there. Jimmy, you picking up on that? That's like,
I get it. It's every day.
We're desensitized to the snark. Yeah. That's why.
You get a man out of bed here. You get a man out of bed at 6:30 in the morning, Calgary time here. And I got to, this is,
I know it's tough. It's tough.
I don't know. I love those stories. I love the Cinderella stories. I love the partying in the streets afterwards. And again, imagine what we felt as Canadians watching the gap, you know, and the amount of years that went by before we got back to a World Cup. So for these countries, these smaller countries, to be here at the big dance and actually get a result, like, you know what that means for those countries, you know, where that are going through, you know, challenging circumstances, you know, politically, or it just, I don't know. To me, I'm all about it, man. It's like, let's go. I get it. It can be chunky and it's all that stuff, but I love it. I love it.
Can we talk about something controversial, Sharms?
No.
Doku leaving?
So
what's your take there, Trent? And then the rest of the crew can jump in.
Look, man, anybody who's been married, I mean, that's the first thing. Who are we talking to? Who's pissed off about it? Are you married? No. Okay, shut up. You don't need to be out here chiming with your single thoughts. We don't need it. Mm-hmm. Man's wife's having a baby. You get your ass on the plane. You go to your wife's having a baby. I don't even know how we're debating this. I don't even know how we're debating it. I get it's a World Cup. It's like his son for the rest of his life is going to be like, Daddy, what was it like when I was born? I don't know, man. I was on the left wing overlapping. I was trying to get a cross into the box while your mother's water broke. I was trying to cut one back the penalty spot area. What? You weren't there for, like, this is the rest of your life and your relationship with your son or daughter. Like, I can't
all
believe
it. Right, Trent, but what if Belgium win the World Cup?
Yeah, man. I mean, everyone gets a trophy. He's like, I got this thing. Isn't that great? You can go in the streets with a kid, like, hey, do the moves, whatever. I don't know, man. I think you got to look at yourself in the mirror. And I mean, you know, this is family first to me. This is a no-brainer. And I get it, man. When I played, like, I don't know if you guys had this, but like, I was kind of fiery when I played, like in the very vocal in the dressing room. And I was like in the game itself, I had to talk out loud to like other players to keep me in the game, if that makes sense. So I was like overly vocal, and any call I was making, the referee would just look at me. I'm like, no, it's not for you, man. That's just me. That's just me. Anyway, but I question other guys' intensity, because if they weren't like me, I was like, how much does that person care if they're not doing the same things I'm doing? Then you get older and you realize everyone has their own approach, right? So it's like, I don't know if you can't question a guy's commitment to his family and wanting to be there for that. That's like, I get it. It's a World Cup. It might be, you know, your best wing back, but hey, man, like, there's other things bigger than football. So,
and FYI, he's back on Tuesday. So right. It's not like it was a match.
No, no, he's done.
No, he's gone. He's
are you sure?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's saying I'm getting an update from. So he's done for good. He can't come back.
That was yesterday's news. That was his message, his video message.
Oh,
I'm leaving camp. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just thought of this, guys. How much credit does he get for the rest of his life?
Oh my God. Yeah, you can hold that
over her head for years.
Hey, I'm going to Vegas with the boys. Yeah. Remember when I left the World Cup? Remember? Yeah, I got the golf clubs. I'm heading to Vegas. Like,
he's got his
cards. I'm going to Vegas by myself.
It could be as simple as I need a sandwich right now. Get me a sandwich. Like, well, it could be that simple.
He did leave the World Cup, Joanne. So I mean, his life is brilliant. It's brilliant.
I would love to know what's going on. I would love to know what's going on in his head. Like, just holding the baby, watching the game, going,
oh, yeah, I know.
Oh my God.
It's going to be tough, man. Just changing a diaper. Being shit on pistol over. I could be in LA right now playing in a World Cup quarterfinal.
Maybe I made a mistake.
He gets at like 3 a.m. on diaper duty, he's going to think that 100%.
He gets there, the wife is healthy and just asleep, the baby's healthy and just asleep, and he's just standing there. Like, you're both just going to sleep? You're both just going to sleep the whole time?
I wonder if he puts his kid on. I bet he's got his kid on and boots and everything, just sitting there.
Oh, a little mini Belgium kit on it, like just taking the piss. Like, oh, really? Yeah. You're really doing this now?
Mm-hmm. He hasn't taken his first steps yet. He hasn't said a word yet. Oh God!
Well, what about what about the Norwegian coach Solbakken yesterday? He won a huge game. The first thing he does, he runs to the stands. He finds his wife or his girlfriend, gives her a big kiss and a hug. It's like, again, major points.
Dude,
he is definitely getting some action last night. And if he didn't,
can't believe he did that. Can't believe he did that. It's a disgrace.
You know, the assistant coach, their partners are like, nothing. I got nothing from you.
I know.
Right.
Yeah, really?
He ran and went to, and really? You knew where we were sitting. Mm-hmm. We were sitting right next to. Okay. So these guys, you got to be thinking about multiple things at all times, right? I mean, this is, you're making decisions, I mean, the rest of your life. But oh no, Doku, he's got an ace it up his sleeve for the rest of his life. He's like, he's got a visa with no limit for the rest of his life.
And you know, the assistants would be pissed too when he came back.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Well done, idiot. Thanks for that.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah. You couldn't give us a heads up on that? You couldn't give me a heads up on that?
Saw the other wags there, just standing there looking like uncomfortable. Like, also, this is nice.
Oh, that's Dave, so funny.
Dave, I'm over here too. Like, anyway, listen, Trent, listen, we're out of time. Thank you so much for this, mate. How can people find you and tell us more about the tour?
Yeah, man. You can find me at trentscomedy.com, hitting the road, back on tour this weekend. Playing Fort McMurray in Kelowna, going to Kelowna, man. This is going to be awesome. And then a bit of a break. We just bought a house. So I'm like, I'm in the midst of packing boxes, trying to watch the World Cup and get ready for the tour. So, but I thought, you know, the Footy Prime folks have called and, you know, I just got to put a shift in, you know, and believe myself, a lot of character in this room, obviously. And, you know, obviously we got to band together here and get a job done. So, yeah. Thanks for having me on, and appreciate you bringing up my age and elderly topics right at the gate. I appreciate that, and I owe you one.
And where can people come out and watch you play?
People come out to the Glenmore Athletic Park. Capacity is about, I would say, about 15,000 right now. We've had two small kids on bikes rode by at one point, so that was pretty cool. They didn't stop. They just kept on riding. But They gave you the bird. They're like, are these old? Is this senior citizen soccer? What's going on? And, you know, we chased them away with sticks, but it was good. And I don't think it's televised, Jimmy, if that's what you're asking. We don't have a television contract just yet, but we're working on that.
One soccer needs content, just so you know.
Yeah.
We are Footy Prime, you know?
Yeah. We're working with Nun Soccer, and they're. They're like, I don't see any soccer. This is just
that's a great. I might use that something. Line.
Old guys that's swearing good. And limping. Yeah. That's what that's. This is.
Yeah, he's got amazing. A Sharpie in his sock just in case somebody shows up.
It's been there for years. It's probably dried out by now. Trent, thank you so much, mate. I really appreciate it.
Cheers, man. Go Canada.
Thanks, Trent.
Thanks, Trent.
Thanks, Trent.
That's Trent McClellan, legend, friend of the show. That was great. That was great. All right, let's play some footy picks here, JC. Let's roll in the opener while I frantically try and find some.
DJ Mello D.
It's 40 picks. It's 40 picks. It's 40 picks on footy.
All right, keep talking. I've got to find this. I've got to load up my BetMGM app here.
JC, well, you should always play the song that way. Start it with the end first, and then get into it.
I wanted to say something, and I should have said it earlier, but we know what Jesse Marsh was doing with his moves. Mm. He was paying tribute to a young Craig Forrest.
Oh,
judo chop, judo chop, judo chop.
Oh. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I thought
there's no such thing as a judo chop.
I thought he was spinning the ones and twos.
Thank you so much. Hit the like, hit the subscribe. We're back tomorrow. Enjoy the games, everyone. Bye bye.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary.
Wonger, any finger gestures you do, Wonger, are always offensive.
Thank you.
Why? The okay sign, school. But I still feel violated.
And Wonger's finger.
I'm still violated by my finger sign.
What?
Wait a second.
Like.